touching on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sonarly, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Madison, on tell the rambler, the gambler, FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we have first casualty in the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. In the Democratic primary, Tom Nelson, the county executive of Outagamie County, that's the Appleton area. I know Tom Nelson. He's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. Did a very, very good job as majority leader of the assembly at one time. He was a candidate for lieutenant governor a little over 10 years ago. Did a very nice job in that campaign. This campaign, he started very early. He started in October of 2020. He started before that November 3rd election. He worked for 21 months going after Ron Johnson. But ultimately, I think, in his own words, what he said was that he raised money. He raised about $1.5 million. But nowadays, in a Senate race, that may not be enough. And so he dropped out of the race. And he endorsed Mandela Barnes. And I want to unpack all that. Truth is that when you drop out of a race after you've already filed nomination papers and registered for the race, they don't drop you from the ballot. People will walk into that ballot on the voting booth, and many of them already got absentee ballots in the mail anyway. Tom Nelson's name will be on there. He'll get a lot of votes. Because believe it or not, some folks haven't heard the news, and they won't hear the news before Election Day, which is 2 weeks from today, by the way. August 9 is 2 weeks from today, so let's get cracking. If you haven't figured out who you want to vote for, figure it out. Go online, research the remaining candidates. Pick somebody. Use social media to your list, your relatives, your buds, your friends, your besties, everybody. Tell them why you're voting for that person. Get the word out. Now, Tom Nelson, he is a good guy, and he's reasonably young. He has a bright future ahead of him. He is the several times elected Outagamie County chair, and he's done a very good job up there. And that's very red country surrounding Appleton. By red, I mean a Republican. And yet he gets elected and reelected. So he has a lot to offer. Tom, I wish you the best. And it was a race well run. And at the end of the day, and in any race, there's only one winner anyway. Okay, so he's endorsed Mandela Barnes. Now, there are what I would say three major candidates left: Mandela Barnes, Steve Lazary, and Sarah Godlewski. There's Stephen Olakara. Did a nice job in the debate the other night. There's Peter Pekarsky, who is a patent lawyer, very, very smart guy, has a degree in electrical engineering from MIT, and if you were on any Senate committee dealing with, say, arms control or, you know, encryption issues with the Chinese or the Russians and so forth, climate change, there's nobody who would be scientifically better than he to address it. In fact, I think this is true. I think this is true, but I'm not certain. There are only two people with undergraduate degrees from MIT in the Senate, and the other one is the newly appointed senator from California. When Kamala Harris became vice president, Gavin Newsom got a chance to replace her. But anyway, that's what you got. Now, in terms of the polling so far, the polling has shown that the top three of the remaining, I think there's seven actually remaining, the five I just mentioned plus two others. Of those seven, people taps in the polls are Mandela Barnes, Alex Lazary, and Sarah Godlewski. So let me briefly just talk about them. I know them all. I consider them all friends. I'm not going to talk on this show about who I'm going to vote for. I simply want you to get out and vote. And there's a lot of studies that have shown that if you vote in a primary, you're much more likely to also vote in the general election, which is what we really want. But we also really want to nominate somebody with the best chance of beating Ron Johnson. And that's going to be determined by popular vote in the primary. Okay, so the remaining three, here's how I would break it down. Mandela Barnes is first in the polls, the last Marquette poll, by a couple of points over Alex Lazary, but it's within the margin of error. And then Sarah Godlewski is running a strong third. So what do we make of all this? Mandela Barnes was the lieutenant governor. He has he was a state assemblyman in Milwaukee, deep experience certainly in the Milwaukee area, but as lieutenant governor, he's gotten around the state, has some impressive support. Alex Lazary is the vice president of the Bucks. I think he's on leave perhaps, but he did a superb job in getting the Democratic convention. He was one of the people instrumental in getting the Democratic convention to Milwaukee in 2020. And you can say, well, they never really came. Well, you know something? He didn't invent COVID, neither did I. There wasn't a convention in either party in the traditional sense in 2020. But just getting them to commit here, and there were some events here, and there were some speeches here, was a major accomplishment. It put Milwaukee on the back. So Alex Lazary was a big part of that. He also, from a business point of view, was one of the people involved in building the new Fiserv arena for the Bucks. And of course, they won the national championship, not this year, but the previous year. And he's done a heck of a job in the Bucks, treated as a business. They used, they paid $15 an hour minimum wage in the construction. A lot of people got much higher wages than that, skilled trades. And then Wisconsin Materials. He'd be superb too. And Sarah Godlewski I met, and she's the state treasurer. And she gets a lot of credit. Remember, the Republicans tried to remove state treasurer by a constitutional amendment from you getting to vote for him. And they wanted their hands on the money. Republicans always want their hands on the public money. Then they accuse other people of being on welfare, and they snatch every dollar they can and parcel it out to their donors and businesses under various pretexts. She stood against that, and she rallied the opposition, and it lost big. The referendum to strip you of your vote to run for treasurer lost big. So as a result, we still can vote for treasurer, and she ran and won. She did a very good job as treasurer. And now she's running for the Senate. She has impressive support. So does Alex Lazary. Alex Lazary has impressive union support and impressive support from some public officials in Milwaukee and elsewhere. And Sarah Godlewski has very impressive support around the state. So what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the lottery, what was it? It's up to $790 million or something. You know, if I knew what the... what the numbers were, I'd buy a ticket with those numbers. I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen. But I can tell you this. The ultimate objective is getting Ron Johnson out of there. The ultimate objective is getting Ron Johnson out of there. We have somebody on the lines. Somebody on the lines. Take a look at that person on the lines. We have somebody on the lines. In any event, get Ron Johnson out of there. Get him out. And who can beat him? I have no idea which of the three can beat him. I would say that all three can beat him. That all three can beat him. So I'm very comfortable with any one of them winning. But the truth of the matter is that you're going to decide that. And if it's a real squeaker, then probably all three of them could have done it. If it's not a real squeaker, then that's a huge endorsement, a huge endorsement for whoever wins to beat Ron Johnson. Now, everybody in a primary tends to appeal to their primary base, and that in the Democratic Party might be to the far left to get people, the squad types and progressives and all that. Well, let me tell you something. The senator from Wisconsin is the senator for all of Wisconsin. So I'm going to want to see some ability in all three of these candidates to be a senator for the whole state, and to be a senator in the way that Bill Proxmire and Gaylord Nelson were. Very strong, standing up for Wisconsin, standing up for the United States against Russia, China, Iran, our really fascist adversaries in these other countries. Standing up for our democracy. Standing up for our democracy. It's under terrible attack right now by the Republican Party. Stand up for it. Say exactly what you're going to do. Stand up for personal freedoms. Now, everybody that I've mentioned, and some of the ones that I haven't mentioned, all the Democrats are good for this, but very good on these issues. Stand up for personal freedoms. Stand up from against these unilateral, really, overturning of Roe v. Wade, a Supreme Court that's really run amok. And it's threatening our democracy by taking this North Carolina case in October, which could strip you of your right to vote for president by a 5-4 majority, with one of the justices confirmed in the lame duck, illegitimately and unconstitutionally. What are we going to do about that? I want to hear a lot more about that. And I think that in the general election, we're going to hear a lot more about that. But there you have it. There you have it. There's some glimmers around that look promising to me. In Washington, D.C., the licensing officials for lawyers have just filed disciplinary charges against Jeffrey Clark. Now, he's the guy that Trump was going to put in to falsely claim there was fraud. They're going to strip him of his law license. I think that our Senate candidates can point to successes like that around the country, that finally there's going to be a taking into account of these characters. That's just one example. We have successes around the country, but vote in the election on August 9. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. I'm in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. I want to talk about a very dangerous tactic that the Democratic Party is doing right now that I strongly disagree with. Strongly disagree with. A lot of moderate Republicans strongly disagree with it, but anybody who understands politics should strongly disagree with, and that is this. The Democratic Party, back in 2012, had a problem. It looked like they were going to lose Senate seats in Missouri and Indiana. But there was a candidate in each of those races, that was so offensive and so right-wing on abortion and rape that they thought, you know, we're going to advertise for that guy to win the Republican primary, and then our nominees will have an easier time bumping him off. But the guy in Missouri, when he was asked if he'd do an exception for rape, in other words, in permitting abortions, he said no. He said because some claims of rape are illegitimate. That really angered everybody. Not just the Democratic Party, not just me and you, everybody. What a stupid idiot. Claire McCaskill was running, so she put a lot of money in, sort of ostensibly opposing him, saying he's too conservative, you know, he's too much for tax cuts, all this stuff. So he wins the primary. Well, then Claire McCaskill went after him and won, and so she got another 6 years in the Senate till 2018 when Josh Hawley beat him. And now we have that that guy down there. In any event, something like that happened in Indiana. We had a guy named Joe Donnelly, Democrat, very good guy. There's a right-wing nut in the field on the other side. The nut said very offensive things about rape in the context of abortion. Everybody put money in to ostensibly attack him by, oh, he's too conservative, he'll give you too many tax cuts. And he gets nominated, and Joe Donnelly wins a term in red state Indiana. Well, the Democratic Party leadership looked at that and very stupidly thought, well, let's just continue doing that. So this time in 2022, in two governor races, and they've done it in more than two governor races, but I'm going to give you these two examples, Pennsylvania and Maryland. Pennsylvania and Maryland. Now, Maryland's a Democratic state, and Pennsylvania is a purple state, but we can get, for instance, Joe Biden won Pennsylvania by 70,000 votes. We can get their electoral votes. They use that tactic to push over two really, really despicable Republicans, Mastriano in Pennsylvania, Cox in Maryland. Now, these guys, Mastriano has said nice things about QAnon, Cox, both of them are election deniers. Both of them have said that if they are governor, they'll make sure that the electoral votes do not go to a Democrat. And in Pennsylvania, Mastriano, under Pennsylvania law, has the ability to appoint the Secretary of State. You know, here we elected Doug La Follette. There, these characters appoint him. Well, they'll appoint an election denier if he gets in. And then you'll have a governor and election denier. And one thing I'm going to put on the radar for you right now, we're going to discuss it as a separate topic later. That new Electoral College Act that's supposedly going to cure what happened on January 6th and make sure that Pence, in the future, a guy like Pence, it's clear he has no discretion to overturn it. It has a provision that if there's dissension or dispute in a state, the governor gets to pick the electoral vote, the electors. The governor. That means that Mastriano and Cox in 2024, if they're elected, will get to pick the electors. And they've already both said they'll pick Republican electors. Now, you can say, well, the Democrats say, Matt, don't worry about it, because our candidates will beat them. Well, wait a minute. We were expecting in a Democratic primary in Maryland that our candidate would be Tom Perez, who is Secretary of Labor under Obama and a former chairman of the state of the National Democratic Party and a very, very reasonable, able guy. He came in second. The guy that won is a guy named Wes Moore. Wes Moore is an unknown. He grew up in the Bronx, and he had a troubled childhood, and he turned himself around. He went straight, you know, got into college. It's all great. And then he founded a nonprofit in Maryland. That's great. Who the hell is he? Why should he be governor of Maryland? He won the primary. Now he's running against Cox, whom Democratic money put him in, because they thought Perez would be the Democratic nominee. How stupid is that? Now, from everything I've heard, Wes Moore is a great guy. He's never had political office. We don't know his full background. We could lose Maryland, and Cox could appoint the electors for the Republicans in 2024, saying there's a dispute in the state. Yes, it's appealable to the Supreme Court, ultimately, if you do it within 6 days. Supreme Court, 6-3, is Republican. They can easily say that's Maryland law. That's national law. Too bad, so sad. It's almost worse in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, Mastriano is a QAnon guy, and he's going to appoint a Secretary of State, who's a denier, too. He's running against Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro is the Attorney General, very good guy, but the polls are fairly close. They show Shapiro slightly ahead. And now the Republican Party is getting behind Mastriano. Everybody in the Democratic Party, every idiot who put this program together said, well, of course, the Republicans will just warmly embrace our guy. No. Morons, no. They're not warmly embracing our guy. They're warmly embracing Mastriano. And people take they give interviews and they go, well, you know, he's a little rough around the edges, but we can control him. Well, no, you can't control him. Business leaders in 1932 in Berlin said, well, we'll elect Hitler. He will clean out the communists and he'll return power to the Reichstag. We can control him. They were executed. Now, nobody's going to get executed in Pennsylvania, not anytime soon. I can't begin to tell you how stupid it is for the Democratic Party not to have realized that there's a difference between gambling in truly red states like Missouri and Indiana to try to push over a rape denier, as disgusting as that is, hoping to get two Democrats in and doing it successfully, and in blue states or purple states, without knowing in advance in one of them who your nominee is going to be, pushing over people who can appoint the electors and hate our democracy. Whoever made that decision should be thrown out of leadership in the Democratic Party. And I'm telling you, it is about time that we face reality in the Democratic Party. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose.
And you were fast in there and you couldn't do anything. And, you know, it wasn't really guarded, so people come by and laugh at you and spit at you, throw tar at you and all this kind of, it's kind of nasty. Very, very nasty. We had a judge in Milwaukee County, I don't know, 20 years ago, what it was, who would give out shaming penalties. He'd say, okay, instead of sending you to jail for 10 days, I'm going to shame you. You've got to stay in a public place with a sign that basically says, I am a bad person. And, you know, I've had friends who are constitutional lawyers who go, well, that's unconstitutional. And I say, yeah, it is, except that what, the guy who gets that is going to appeal? Is he? Yeah, he'll win. He'll go to jail. So, I mean, this is all weird stuff. But with Gableman, the other thing that the Supreme Court can do, the worst one, is they can strip you of your law license. And that has to be something that's very, very serious. Anyway, Gableman was referred to OLR, the Office of Lawyer Regulation, by a judge, which is, you know, that doesn't happen every day. Now there's a new grievance that was just filed against him. And it's a very, very interesting grievance because it says, you know, he's gone around saying that we should decertify the 2020 election, which isn't possible. It's not legally possible. It's irresponsible to say it. But there's a rule of professional conduct. Lawyers have it's the code of professional conduct, the rules of professional conduct, that lawyers are forbidden for doing a lot of things that you're able to do. And I'm going to give you a couple of them. And, you know, there's a lot of lawyer jokes about lawyers are crooked and I hate lawyers. Everybody hates lawyers until they need a lawyer. Then they love a lawyer. They love their lawyer. Lawyers are among the most honest people I've ever met for a lot of reasons. First of all, the people who are attracted to law are idealistic, whether they're conservative or liberal. And secondly, the rules of professional conduct are much more stringent than the Ten Commandments or whatever rules you live by, believe me. So, like, here's one of them. Wisconsin is a one-party state. What does that mean? It means that in Wisconsin, if there's a telephone conversation, either party can tape it without letting the other one know. The idea being that, well, he gives consent because he's taping it, and the other party, too bad. Some states were two-party states. Illinois and Pennsylvania used to be. Maybe they still are. That is, you can't tape a telephone conversation unless you tell the other guy and get their permission, okay? Well, in Wisconsin, even though we're a one-party state, lawyers can't do it. A lawyer cannot tape a conversation without telling the other side under the rules of professional conduct. And this is only one thing. The other thing is they have a duty of candor and truthfulness to the court. You know, the average person will tell a white lie here or there, or even a big lie. A lawyer does it to a judge or to opposing counsel in a case that can be disciplined for that. So why are we paying to defend Gableman at taxpayer expense for allegations by a judge and now a private citizen that he violated the rules of professional conduct? He's a lawyer. He was a judge. He knew he shouldn't do these nasty things. The complaint, the new one that was just filed, said that he made false statements about judges, saying that they were biased. He said the judge is biased. You can't say that unless you have real proof, and you shouldn't say it because it's a very terrible charge. You can't, oh, I lost the case, the judge is biased. If a judge, if you say that, it's like Major League Baseball. You say, I lost that because the umpire was biased and deliberately called balls and strikes. You're going to get suspended. You're a coach, you'll get suspended for a long time, and you're going to get fined for saying something like that. He accused the Wisconsin Election Commission of stealing electoral votes. Wait a minute. A lawyer can't accuse a public official of misconduct lying about it. The Wisconsin election didn't steal anything, the commission. It was approved by the courts. During COVID, they mailed ballots. They mailed ballots into old age homes, nursing homes. Otherwise, these people couldn't have voted. So anyway, Gaveman did a lot of other things, and here is what is going to happen. He's going to have a lawyer. You're paying for that lawyer. He's going to have that lawyer write a brief, many briefs. You're going to pay for him, give oral argument. If the OLR, the Board of Office of Lawyer Regulation, says his license should be suspended or even should get a public reprimand, that will be appealed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is part of the original briefing process. I mean, whatever recommendation is made by OLR, it's not really an appeal. There'll be briefing and argument to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that it shouldn't be accepted. The Wisconsin Supreme Court usually accepts recommendations from OLR because it's composed of volunteer lawyers and then paid staff who take this very seriously. Why are we paying for this, boss? Why are taxpayers paying for this? We've already paid $1 million. And the guy's gone around the state and they've already said there's nothing there. Why are we paying for him to look for stuff that's not there? And then when he commits misconduct, I mean, one of the things he said, the judge is biased. He favored the opposing counsel as a woman. And then he made jokes about, well, when she's in the chambers with him, you know, come in and take dictation or something. You know, you don't do that. Not only is it very stupid because the judge isn't going to like that, but secondly, you don't just insult female lawyers for the hell of it. You don't insult any lawyer if you're a judge. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to act like a gentleman and a lady. You're not supposed to insult the judge. Voss has imposed this. Voss has said, I, Voss, can look on taxpayer dollars, which is essentially the funds of the government, as a piggy bank. You know, I need some money for pizza, go out to, you know, you have some mad money, you have a, you know, a couple $100 in a drawer, going out to eat tonight, going to a movie, I'll grab some of it. He has over $70 billion over 2 years budget. And he can, what, snatch a little out here and there, whatever he wants. Nobody will miss it. $1 million, what's that to $70 billion? A little here, a little there. And this is what the Republican Party is doing. This is what Republican judges have upheld. And this is wrong. This is wrong. This is very wrong. I am going to bet that there is nobody listening to this show, nobody who paid $1 million in state taxes last year. I'm willing to bet that. Every penny of tax that you paid, up to over $1 million collectively, just got burned up for no legitimate reason. For no legitimate reason. It's wrong. It's very, very wrong. We need people like Bill Proxmire back, my mentor, great friend, very grateful to Bill. He got me involved in politics. He was a watchdog for the taxpayer. He was a watchdog for the taxpayer. Now we don't have any watchdog. And the burglars, the Republican burglars, are getting in the House. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Geez, you brought up my favorite subject, Abelman. You know, we all just have been watching the hearings that the election was not stolen. He's committing fraud, and that gul-darn boss should be kicked out of office, abusing his power and cheating the taxpayers, lying. I mean, this is so bad. This is so outrageous. I hope a lot of people join a lawsuit and sue those sons of guns. And if those Supreme Court sitting on their butt who act like fascists, they're acting like it, and this is my opinion because of the decisions that they've made and the support that they've given that false, fake son of a gun Trump. They need to be recalled, and they can be. They should not be sitting on that court. They can sit there and pretend that they're like the almighty judges in the state of Wisconsin. They need to wake up because they were put in by people, and they can be withdrawn by people. And you know what? This would be a good cause if they let Gableman get involved in Gableman, that liar. And you know what else? This guy shouldn't have even taken the job because he didn't even know how elections were run. Give me a break. What a con man. That con man sat on our Supreme Court just like a few of the other ones did and are right now. Folks, wake up because we're getting a big con job done and it's not pretty. And the election wasn't stolen and they got to knock it off because this is sick. So anyway, I went on a tangent here. You have a great morning. Bring up Gableman and you'll get another call, that son of a gun. He's like the biggest awful mark on our state. I mean, that just goes to show you we don't have any taste in picking Supreme Court justice, and we better wake up and start investigating who these people are and what the heck they're doing. Thank you, Matt. You have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Gene. I could not have said it better myself. I'm going to hit a little after. Got to go to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up with Gableman. Gene of Eau Claire, an enormous passion, said it exactly as it is. But remember something else. We've already burned over a million. Now we're burning into the second million to defend him from misconduct charges. Why are we doing that? It was an intentional act. Even insurance policies don't insure against intentional acts. You burn your own building down, they're not going to pay for the building, even if you have insurance. This was intentional acts on his part. And the first million, part of it was, I don't know if you remember this, he needed work. And we'd hire him. And he said, well, I don't know anything about elections, not very much. I'm going to use this opportunity to go around the state and find out about it. Well, great. But, you know, I think if you're over 60 or whatever it is, you can audit courses in the UW system statewide. Take a course in political science. It doesn't cost anything, and it doesn't cost us anything. I mean, why should I pay your tuition, guy? Why should I pay your tuition? And you went to law school. What do you mean you don't know anything about elections? Then he goes, he starts to work out of the library in New Berlin. I'm not kidding. In one of those computers. I mean, those things aren't secure. You kidding me? Would you put your financial information in a computer in the New Berlin library, for instance? So, well, why are you using the New Berlin computer? Well, I don't have one. What, I can't afford? Come on. How much is a computer? And I'm not talking about coming with a crummy little computer. You can get one for under a grand, right? I mean, you can. Well under a grand. Get a computer, guy. Well, then he wanted to rent office space in Brookfield. But he didn't initially even want to give the address, and then he wanted to interrogate people behind closed doors when the statute says it has to be open in front of the legislature. Part of the new misconduct is he's attacked two judges and accused them of bias and of really stealing the election. And what was their crime? He said to them, put the mayor of Green Bay and Madison in jail. That's what he said. Because they won't give secret testimony to me behind closed doors. And they both said, we're happy to give you testimony, but it has to be open in front of a legislative committee and you can ask the questions. He then asked two judges to throw them in jail. The judges go, are you out of your mind? Go ahead and brief that. And they didn't immediately throw him in jail. Those people had to have lawyers. It's expensive. And then Gableman is accusing those judges, because they didn't throw two mayors in jail, of committing some impropriety. And now he has been reported for an ethics violation on that. And you and I are paying for his legal defense. This is not right. I mean, I got to say, this is not right. Bill Proxmire is the best watchdog of the taxpayer. But even if you're not Bill Proxmire, is there any rudimentary understanding that it is wrong to chew up over $1 million to, A, educate the guy, get him a computer because he was hanging out in the New Berlin Library, get him staff he didn't identify, go around the state and find nothing, and then commit ethical offenses against judges and the public, and then pay for his legal defense? And Voss says, yeah. And the Republican Party says, yes. The Republican Party is phony. They claim, you know, we're looking out for you. They're not looking out for the taxpayer. They are afraid of Trump, afraid of their donors, and will reach into the old weasel sack, which is the $70+ billion biennial budget, grab whatever they want. And their judges say that's okay. And there's nobody in Wisconsin who's saying this as bluntly as I am, and that is wrong. Where's the Democratic leadership to point out, hey, we got burglars on the ground floor and they're coming upstairs? Nobody's saying that. Well, I got to tell you, down in Atlanta, there's a development in that probe of Trump for extorting Raffensperger, and also a probe into the fake electors. And it was a very sensational headline that came out yesterday, and I want to explain it. It said Fannie Willis is a terrific prosecutor, the only one with the guts anywhere to say, we're going to prosecute those fake electors. We're going to prosecute Trump, and I think she will get to that, for extorting Raffensperger. She has been blocked by a judge from probing in the sense of subpoenaing and ordering to testify a guy, state senator named Burt Jones, who is a fake elector. And why? Because Fannie Willis did something dumb. She attended a fundraiser for Burt Jones's opponent for lieutenant governor. There's a lieutenant governor race down there. Burt Jones is a Republican, and he's running for lieutenant governor. Fannie Willis idiotically went to a fundraiser for his Democratic opponent. Now, she has a right to vote, but when you're a prosecutor, you shouldn't start talking about who you want in an election and then go after the other guy. She's perfectly justified in going after the other guy, Burt Jones, because he was a fake elector, but she should not have gone to that fundraiser. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, there must be some Republican judges down there are shutting it down. That's not the case. I agree with the judge. Very measured. He said, look, she can continue to investigate Burt Jones. She can ask other people what he did. And there's no dispute that he, in fact, was a fake elector. But what she can't do is order him in by subpoena for testimony, require him to testify when she went to a fundraiser for his opponent, Democratic opponent, lieutenant governor. So word out there to any prosecutors, or you who are friends of prosecutors, don't be an idiot. Don't go to political fundraisers. Don't go to political fundraisers. You can contribute. That is permissible. But if you have a high-profile case, there's going to be a motion to exclude you. One way to do it is your spouse or somebody in your family. If your whole family is behind somebody, they can make a contribution. That happens frequently. But and you can run as a Democrat or Republican, because sadly, district attorney is not nonpartisan in this state. It is in some other states. In this state, you run as a Democrat or Republican. So, yeah, you have to go and solicit Democratic votes. You can do that generally. But don't get trapped into opposing a particular Republican, especially if they're going to end up as the object of a criminal probe. Don't shoot your mouth off about the other party. Exercise your constitutional rights to vote, to join a party in the sense that you're running as a Democrat for, say, district attorney or Republican. But you have to give the appearance and reality of fairness. The appearance and reality of fairness. And even if you are a fair person, and even if you are not letting this influence you, nobody knows that when you are at a fundraiser for the opponent of somebody that you're putting in front of a grand jury. And this is pretty rudimentary. If you're in doubt, as a prosecutor, you can get guidance from the state bar. In the Ethics Commission, you can call them up and ask them. And they'll tell you. And just follow that advice. So down in Atlanta, Fannie Willis is now blocked from taking the deposition or testimony from Burt Jones. Burt Jones is a no-goodnik. Burt Jones is a state senator and a fake elector. Bad person, very bad. We don't like fake electors. But because she attended a fundraiser for his opponent, Democratic opponent for lieutenant governor, she's barred from talking to him. And that means her office. That means, I think that's going to mean she can't just tell a deputy to do it. Another prosecutor can do it. There are plenty of county prosecutors, and she can call up another prosecutor and say, I'm transferring Burt Jones to you. But they didn't say she couldn't investigate Trump. They didn't say she couldn't investigate Burt Jones, as long as she doesn't subpoena him and give him a good roasting in a deposition or testimony in front of the grand jury. So it's not the end of the world. It's not like he's going, you got the wrong Burt Jones. You know, I'm the Burt Jones that's a plumber here on the end of town. You got the wrong guy. No, that's not what's going on. He is the fake elector. Everybody knows he's the fake elector. So it's doable, but I think Fannie, you know, learned a good lesson out of it, and so are a lot of other people going to learn a good lesson out of it. Let me tell you, there's no lack of shame on the part of the Republican Party. I'm going to tell you something that'll make your hair curl. You know Louie Gohmert of Texas? He's really bad news. Now, when I say a guy's really bad news, in the old days there might be one of them or two. Now there's 20 or 30 of them. And I can't recite Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz and Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan and Andy Biggs and Mo Brooks and all that. I mean, I get tired saying their names, but Louie Gohmert is there in the demonology. And here's what Louie, the idiot of Texas, just said, Republican congressman, right-wing nut. Here's what he just said, quote, you know, like what, this is the funeral oration for Pericles or something. He goes, quote, I grieve for the imprisoned Capitol Hill rioters. I grieve for, do you grieve for them? How about the five people who got killed? How about the officers who got trampled, almost kicked to death? How about the woman who got shot? How about the guy who lost his eye and his finger? Do you grieve for them? No, they didn't grieve for them. I grieve for the imprisoned Capitol Hill rioters. I've had enough of these guys. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.